Welcome to Bubbles and Benevolence, the podcast where we pop the bubbles to success and dive deep into the benevolent hearts of those who have achieved it. In this podcast, we'll sit down with successful business leaders, philanthropists, nonprofit workers, and more to discuss their journeys, the lessons they've learned along the way, and how they're using their success to make a positive impact on the world. So grab a glass of bubbles and join us as we explore the intersection of business and benevolence and discover what it truly means to be successful. Today, we are thrilled to have Kylie Rowan, the visionary behind Brisbane's one-of-a-kind styling boutique, Styling Station, as our guest. With a pay-it-forward giving model, Styling Station offers personalized styling services to help you feel confident and comfortable in your own skin. In this episode, we'll uncover the story behind Kylie's innovative idea for Styling Station, the challenges she faced starting a not-for-profit, and even discover some hidden talents that she possesses. So sit back, relax, and join us as we chat with the incredible Kylie Rowan on Bubbles and Benevolence.
Kylie, thank you so much for giving up your time to come and join us on our episode of Bubbles and Benevolence. And it's just thrilling for us to have you here today. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we've got a wonderful story to share today. But more importantly, we asked you to bring some bubbles, something that you like, and tell us about what you've chosen to bring today.
Well, I didn't have a favourite bubbles, so I thought I'd share my favourite cocktail instead. And so this is espresso martini. Definitely my favourite because I love coffee. Add some liquor to it. We can't go wrong. And it's always just enjoyable. And I love it. So that's definitely my fave.
Well, we managed to find, because we're all very busy working women these days, we thought we might do a little shortcut, and we managed to go to the local bottle shop and find Archie Rose has put out some like shortcut espresso martinis in these really cute little cans. So we're going to try this. I think we have to shake up the bottle for 20 seconds. Is that correct? Yes. I think that's what the instructions said. I'm not sure if I'm timing this correctly. But I'm partial to an espresso martini as well. Also a coffee lover. We're all coffee lovers at Hamworth House. And it seems appropriate for us on the end of the weekday. And I think they say open slowly and carefully. Okay. I think you're pointing that towards me. I'm not so sure that's the right thing to do.
Okay.
Well, there was a few bubbles coming, but let's see how it comes out. And we didn't have martini glasses, so we've got on the big goblets, but I think the effect will be the same. It's got a froth on the top. It smells really good. And we actually do work a bit with Archie Rose, particularly through the Brisbane Festival, our relationship at Hanworth House. So I didn't know they did this. So let's have a try and see what it is like. Cheers and welcome.
Oh, that's a really
not bad. I'm not sure the ones I make are as good as that one.
Oh.
That is an excellent, excellent espresso martini.
It really is.
I have to add that to our collection. So that sets the whole, I think, conversation off on a beautiful track. It gives us energy as well, being coffee and all, I'm sure. So, Kylie, we're thrilled that you could come because we really wanted to share your story. Hanworth has had a lovely relationship the last 12 months or so working with what you have formed as a wonderful company. So let's go back, though. Your life has been in fashion, I think, for quite some time. So tell us about how you fell into it, how you got inspired by it. And tell us a bit about your story and how you've come to be at Styling Station today.
Sure. Well, when I look back, I can see that everything I did has led to Styling Station, really. I first started in a fashion degree, but I found that the sewing was not for me. In the back room, sewing little samples just was not for me. I was much more of a people person. So I moved into the visual merchandising space. I've always been a creative person, and that really inspired me to really dig in on what really suits people and what works for them. And before Styling Station, I worked for a not-for-profit, Dress for Success, suited to success here in Brisbane. And that's where Styling Station really came about, because I could see there was just such a need, and there was no one meeting that market. So I found that right through my career, everything has given me the skills to end up where I am with what I need to be successful.
And I think that's what we're finding out as a common theme talking to people, is that sometimes a passion is the thing that leads people to do the next thing. So as a child, did you like fashion? From a young age?
I did. I grew up in the 80s, so I had the bubble skirts and the rah-rah skirts, and I always loved colour, always loved fashion. Kylie Minogue was my first tape that I got. Pretty sure I had one of the hats with the hole cut out. So, yes, I've always loved fashion, and I love to see it evolve and then come back around.
Did you get that from your mum? Or anyone in your family that kind of had a passion?
My gran was always very fashionable and had the matching belts and the handbags, and I used to love playing in her closet and her earrings. And, yeah, it was definitely – actually, both my grandmas were very fashionable and very elegant ladies. So
did they make their own clothes?
Not that I know of. They may have in their earlier dates, but by the time I came along, they didn't. But they always had just a very keen sense of style, and everything was very classic and well-fitted and showed their shape, and I think that's where I was inspired.
And so you obviously played dress-ups quite a lot, I guess, as a young girl.
Yes, I did.
And I always like to look back on my teenage daughter, and there was a couple of, you know, tragic fashion moments. Did you have a few of those? Is there one that you can remember more than any other that perhaps gave you the inkling that you might like to do that again in a different way as an older person? We've all got those stories.
The fluoro was one that I regretted, and the hairstyles. I remember going to school one day with a big slicked up hairstyle, my fringe pasted right up. It was for photo day, and so I forever look back at that photo and think, what was I thinking?
Did you think that was very fashionable?
Oh, I thought it and was you had fabulous.
To, or did your parents just say she just wanted to stand out from the crowd with that one?
Oh, I think they just let me do what I wanted to do. But yeah, I definitely look back and regret that one.
So it sounds like you're destined for a career in the fashion sector from a very, very early age. So I would love to hear a bit more about, I know that we've heard about Suited for Success, Dressed for Success. So tell us about their you know, kudos, why they existed. They play a wonderful, important role in the community.
They absolutely do. Really, they exist. Dressed for Success is really for women, and they dress people for job interviews. So they play a really vital role in preparing people to either get back into the workforce or into the workforce for the first time. And so they just have a lovely, nurturing sense to see people grow and move on their journey. And here in Brisbane, they do men as well, so that's why they're called Suited to Success here. They just utilise fashion that would have gone to waste. It's all secondhand, and people donate wonderful, wonderful things to them that then can get utilised.
And so you said that you were drawn to the not-for-profit industry, and that was, I think, your segue into the not-for-profit.
Yeah,
how did you get that job, and what attracted you to work in the not-for-profit sector?
Well, I first started volunteering there. I just gave up my time because I believed in what they were doing. And from then, I very quickly got a role and became a social enterprise manager there. But I just saw that there was so much more that actually the community needed. So while they are fabulous and do an amazing job, but that's one segment of the market. And so that's how Styling Station came about too, to broaden that and actually reach more in the community.
So that's a lovely entree into talking about this amazing initiative called Styling Station. So talk to us about, how were you inspired to go out and create something new? Because it's challenging to start a new business of any description, particularly in A, the fashion space, and two, the charitable space. Both of them are challenging industries. You couldn't have chosen two more challenging industries and whacked them together.
Yes.
So tell us, you know, how did that start? We want to hear that journey. How did it start?
It really started from my heart, because seeing women in particular, that's where my heart is, struggle within themselves, struggle with who they are, their identity, and how they perceive themselves and therefore how others perceive them. That is where my heart is, to build women and empower them and to know themselves and to be who they're destined to be. I find that there's so much, we're bombarded with so many things in the media and social media about who we should be or what we should look like or what the definition of beauty or success is. And I just find that everybody carries such an inner beauty and an outer beauty that I think some fail to recognise. So it's kind of become my mission to bring that out in people, to just to see how wonderful that they are and embrace that and build on that, because I find that it impacts everything in their life once they believe in themselves and are comfortable in their own skin. So this is where Styling Station has so much impact on people, because we have this amazing opportunity to have ladies in this safe space with this amazing wardrobe that's theirs for the hour, where we get to, the clothing becomes almost the vessel to build the inner self, the inner woman. And so we really love to teach someone to look in the mirror and just see the beautiful, amazing things about themselves and not pick out the bits that we don't like, because that tends to be how we look at ourselves when we look in the mirror, or we compare ourselves to what we see on social media or what we see on the front of a magazine. So for me, Styling Station is all about empowering each woman to feel beautiful, yeah, just trust herself and trust who she is to take her where she wants to go in life.
So tell us, what is Styling Station?
So Styling Station is what, obviously we've already talked about, it's a not-for-profit organisation. But what it is a massive, big boutique wardrobe that we get to nurture each woman. So you have a stylist for an hour. We pick out fabulous outfits for you to try on. We'll always pick things that are a little bit different from what you would normally go for. And our whole mission is to inspire confidence and to really nurture self-esteem. So for us to get ladies to try on outfits and see themselves in a different light and be able to look in the mirror and actually think, I am beautiful. And we really try to undo the narrative that actually plays in people's heads of, you know, there might be a comment from years ago or, yeah, a negative repeat that is going round and round their brains. We really work at undoing those myths and those lies and replacing them with positive things. So Styling Station is a personal styling service. A part of your styling session, you get to take home your outfit, and that's a makeup of three pieces. So we try to honour a whole outfit, so whether it's a dress, shoes and handbag, or a pants, top and a jacket. We've got an array of sizes, styles, colours, all sorts of clothing. So we always find something fabulous for everybody. And you take that outfit home, and every styling session pays it forward to a woman who's really doing it tough in the community. We can get that lady in and just really love on her, build her self-esteem and give her whatever clothing that she needs. So Styling Stations, we are partnered with lots of different organisations, community organisations like Beyond DV and Lutheran Services, Multicultural Australia, Ronald McDonald House. So we get referral clients from there, and those women that are just falling through the cracks or just being in really tough circumstances, we're just able to give them an hour that's just all about them, and it's just a time out for them to be special, to feel nurtured, and the sole focus for once. I think as women in society, we wear so many different hats and we're juggling all these different things. So I think just having that time out for a one-on-one that's about you is super important.
So I love the way it sounds like when you described what it was, it sounds like the incredible boutique, but it actually is an incredible boutique, but it's a social good enterprise. Yes. As in, you've talked about the people that can benefit from coming there being people who perhaps are doing it hard.
Yes.
And perhaps don't take the time out for themselves, etc. But they're actually supported to be there.
Yes.
By retailers and other people who pay for a session. So you can just describe that a little bit about, well, people will be asking, you know, well, how does that make any money to be able to enable people who can't pay to come in? So
sure.
I think that's part of the story is really important, and it's really a great
yes.
part of the story.
So I guess that's part of the business model of how I set up Styling Station. It was so the community supports its own community. So all women are invited to come and have a styling session. That's an hour, and they take home their outfit. So people who have the means and can pay $110 for their styling session.
Which is nothing compared to taking home three beautiful pieces. I mean, I've taken my team, Jamie and Sophia,
yes.
and we all paid because we know that that's actually going to germinate another wonderful three people coming in
that's
to your
right.
boutique who perhaps wouldn't be able to pay.
That's
and we
right.
took three new pieces of things home.
Yes.
And things I don't think that perhaps I would have ever chosen had I not had a stylist.
Yes, See, that's the beauty of it. All of the clothing is brand new. It's all the end-of-season stock and the excess stock from big retailers and Brisbane boutiques. So it's clothing. It's saving all that clothing from going to landfill. So that's our unique proposition, is that we offer new clothing, just restoring hope and dignity to people. But that fee of $110 is such amazing value for an hour with a personal stylist and taking those three items home. The value in those three items is well beyond $110, so it's such great value for money. That's why we have amazing return clientele. But yes, that's how then we are able to pay it forward and help someone in need free of charge.
It's an amazing concept, I think, and congratulations. I think it's incredible. But it must have been tough, A, making the decision to leave a paid job, and B, starting something that was very innovative. So tell us about that time. I mean, how were you feeling? And perhaps even if you look back now, what did you do right? What did you do wrong? Think about a young girl out there who wants to start their own business. I mean, how do you start, and what did you learn along the way?
Well, my biggest piece of advice is go for it. I think so many people are held back by fear, but if you don't give it a go, you'll never know. So for me, yes, it was quite a leap of faith, because I did resign from my job right in the middle of COVID. People thought I was crazy, but for me, it was the right time, because I just knew that there was going to be people in a really tough situation where they were going to be deciding whether they put food on the table or they bought a new pair of shoes. So for me, I just felt it was the right time, and I thought, I'm just going to go for this. What's the worst thing that can happen? It fails and I find another job. So, but for me, being passionate about it was what was the driving force, because I don't think you can actually do anything well with it if you're not passionate about it, because there is definitely going to be those tough days, and that's what gets you through those tough days, is being passionate and seeing the result and the outcome of what you're going for.
How did you even get the idea?
I got the idea while I was at Suited to Success, because there was so much resource spent on sorting secondhand clothing there.
Talk to us about that.
Yes.
Our labels on the lawn, we can give you inevitable, I mean, almost the volunteers go, oh no, another sorting day.
Yes.
So yes, we know how passionately you have to be to sort secondhand clothes out.
You do. And I'm sure that you would find the same things. There's some people donate some amazing, amazing items. There's some other items that probably shouldn't have come, and then it just takes a whole lot more time to actually sort through those. So, but while I was there, I started developing fashion partners where I knew there was new, brand new stock that was going to waste. And I think we've all seen those documentaries now, the big piles of textile waste that are quite often sent overseas to other countries and things. So I just thought, actually, how can I do my little bit for sustainability? I'm passionate about fashion and I want to see it utilised and not end up as a massive environmental impact. So, yeah, developing these fashion partners where I knew I could take this new stock and actually do something effective with it that's really going to impact people is how the idea came about, and yeah, what I continue to pursue and to keep getting more fashion partners on board.
So how did you think about funding? How did you think about, did you always have a boutique in mind? Was there consideration about, you know, how you were going to get your message out? How did you face, because you were quite new in all of this, even though you had experience, and they're fundamentals of a new business, isn't it?
Yes. No, I always knew that I wanted to have a boutique because I wanted a nice, safe space. I did consider, you know, could I go to other places and actually help people with clothing? But for me, I thought a really important factor was having a beautiful, safe space where people felt important and nurtured and valuable. So that's what set it apart from actually just, you know, sort of going to a shelter or going to somewhere where there are people in need. But I wanted to create that experience for women that they're really valuable and they deserve this beautiful nurturing experience in a really lovely environment. So that's why I headed down that path, and I will always stay with that, because I just find that is a really important factor in how people feel.
And so what was the hardest thing for you?
Probably the financial and governance side. because I'm naturally a creative person. So I like making everything look pretty and you know, and I love interacting with people, but a bit more of the paperwork side and the rules and the regulations, that's the part that I found a little bit harder. But I know my limitations and I'm not afraid to ask for help. I certainly know that I don't know everything. So I've just got a wonderful team on board where if someone had knowledge in a certain area, then I pick their brain or I get them to help me do that or I put them in charge of doing that. And that's how the team works so well. We all have our attributes that we're good at. And so that's where we sit in the pocket and do that well.
And in this era when corporate governance is so important, and I think even I would hesitate to say almost more important in the not-for-profit sector, because I think a lot of the not-for-profit sector is often people who feel passionately and engaged socially and in a responsible way and are not often business people themselves when they first start out. I mean, if you follow your heart, sometimes you haven't got the head space. I mean, a lot of passionate people aren't necessarily great at maths, for instance, and vice versa.
Yes.
So I think getting a good group of people around you, what you're talking about, is incredibly important. And I know Dr. Bridget Cullen is your chair of your board, but I'd love to hear about how did you choose the people that you thought would most be able to lead the thinking of the organisation, to respond to your passionate energy, and what does the makeup of the people that you trust look like around your board? I think there's about six or so, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
So how do you know what you need?
Well, I was really blessed to come across Bridget. I had a client who was very passionate about what we were doing and in the business world, and Jerry actually recommended Bridget. So I was very grateful for an insight into someone that would be actually really appropriate for Styling Station, has the knowledge, the background, and has the passion as well.
And I think she had a bit of a background in migration and refugees. Is that correct? Was that important to you?
Yes, because for all the people on the board, I've really chosen people that had a heart. That's what I look for in all my team members, is that their heart is in the right place, that they're there for the right reason. I certainly didn't want anyone on the board that was there for a tick on their resume. For me, it was definitely about being there for the right reasons and actually for the good of Styling Station. So Bridget has been absolutely amazing. We have a treasurer who is highly overqualified for Styling Station. She's a forensic auditor. But another one that was a client that came through and offered her services, and she is just fabulous. And so for me, that finances are really not my forte. So I love that Alex is just all over it, and I can leave it in her hands and feel very happy with that. The other two board members I've got, one is a director of Styling Station as well. And she was a stylist that was with me at Suited to Success.
Oh,
and
right.
She came over with me. She's been loyal, passionate, amazing for all of these years. And so I've put Kathy in a place of directorship and on the board because she has just a fabulous background of being and caring and nurturing for people. And she has a wealth of knowledge in lots of different places. And my other board member is Lynn, and she has a background in looking after people with a disability. And she just has this most beautiful nature about her that you can't help but love her to pieces. And I've even had some stylists that have had some their own children that have had autism and a few different issues. And Lynn goes and takes those children out to give the mum a break. And these children have never met Lynn before, and they're happy to go off with her and have some time out. And I just think that is just a credit to who this lady is inside. These children just immediately trust her, and she just does the goodness of her heart. So I've got a beautiful team that just has expertise and skills in different areas that all contribute to, you know, who we really target and respond to and want to help at Styling Station.
And I notice that they're all women.
Yes.
And is that a conscious decision?
Yes. Yes, it is. Because the boutique is a safe space for women. Generally, we don't have men in Styling Station at all, and that's, I love men, I have nothing against men. I just find that if there is a woman that has come from domestic violence or any sort of torture or trauma, I just find that it's a much safer space for her when it's just all women and a very uplifting environment for her.
So we might just have a little chat soon about perhaps volunteers.
Sure.
Hey there, listeners. Before we jump back into our chat with Kylie, we wanted to remind you that Labels on the Lawn is coming up in just 5 months. So now's the perfect time to do an autumn wardrobe clean out and donate your designer clothes to this amazing event. From May 2nd to May 12th, excluding weekends and public holidays, we'll be accepting donations from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Just drop off your donations at Vecchio Medical on the corner of 105 Main Street, Kangaroo Point, and make sure to leave your contact details to be the first to know when Labels on the Lawn tickets go on sale. Thanks for supporting this great cause, and we'll jump right back into our interview with Marisa and Kylie.
So I got the impression from you, Kylie, that Styling Station is a big enterprise and obviously a small, passionate heart that goes with building it and providing the service. But, you know, it's a big service to provide. So how do you manage to do everything you need to do with the people that both book in to come for a styling session and also the people that you voluntarily give those styling sessions to? How do you man that, so to speak, or woman it? Maybe is a better term in this case.
A team of amazing volunteers is how we do it. I have, I think, almost 20 volunteers now that are passionate women that have heart to see others succeed. So the only way that Styling Station runs is because of these beautiful women that give up their time each week to just come and nurture somebody else. And we have a bit of fun while we do it as well. You know, we really enjoy each other's company. So not only do they style the clients and you know, make Styling Station run so effectively, we get together and try on some clothes ourselves and have a bit of playtime and a little bit of downtime for our stylists too, to a moment out of their ordinary lives as well. So I find that all of my volunteers often say to me it's the highlight of their week to come. So because I think there's something really important in giving. I think we actually gain so much more from ourselves when we give.
And so how did you find your volunteers?
Oh, a array of different areas, but mostly word of mouth and knowing someone, or they've come in as a client and then have asked about how could they contribute, how could they help Styling Station. So normally it is definitely through an interaction, an engagement of some sort where I can see somebody's heart and I can see their motivation, and that's what I look for.
But sometimes hard. I mean, we have a great group of volunteers as well, as many organisations do. And you almost think they give you so much. It's hard to know what you can give them back besides the intrinsic nature of what they do gives a lot back. I think giving is in itself the gift.
Yes.
that everyone pursues. But how do you engage and motivate your volunteers to make sure they keep giving? I mean, you can only do so much in your life. There's so many competing things. I mean, this day and age, particularly people who may have a little bit of time to volunteer might be have aging parents, maybe working part-time, so there's the challenges of work, families that are being raised, you know, children growing up. So we face it all the time. We'd be happy to hear about what do you do for your volunteers to keep them engaged with each other or with yourselves?
Or do the clothes do the work for you?
The clothes do a lot of work. But I think it's actually our team environment, because we really pursue what Styling Station stands for, and that is uplifting each other and supporting one another. And so I think the volunteers, they love engaging with one another, and they just love the uplifting environment that's always there. The clothes are definitely a big part. We have some fun with that. And every all of our volunteers pay a membership to Styling Station, so we all take home an outfit once a month.
Oh, really? So
yes.
Tell me about that. So because I'm thinking I really want to volunteer with Styling Station.
Sure.
I know Jamie and Sophia both desperately want to volunteer with Styling
really
Station because we love you,
yes,
but we also love what you do, but we
yes
also love being surrounded by these incredibly
yes
gorgeous new clothes. And so if I came to and said, Kylie, I want to sign up, I want to be a volunteer, what do I have to do?
So you would come and I would run you through Styling Station's training course. But yeah, I do ask that anyone who is interested in the clothing, which is all the volunteers, that you sign up for Styling Station's In Vogue membership. And that comes with some perks where you can take home your outfit once a month. And I just find it really helps. It's like a retail store. When you wear the clothing, it actually helps people to see how it works and how it sits on you and how you style it. So I find that a lot of the volunteers will wear their outfits to Styling Station, and they love it because they get to dress up a little bit more than their ordinary life, and be a little bit eclectic with their clothing, step out of their comfort zone, be a bit creative with it. Yeah, and I just find that it just creates this environment where we rock what we wear, and so therefore it instills confidence in our clients that we know what we're talking about, and when we put them in something that's a little bit out of their comfort zone, they're actually happy to trust us because we're rocking our own outfit.
So you obviously will test me on my styling ability, so I might come on a little bit of a problem child here, because if I have no styling ability, would I be rejected as a volunteer? Or would I do the back end? Would I like unpack boxes and do ironing?
Well, what I find, I think I've already mentioned this, I look for heart in people. I can teach anybody to style, but I can't teach someone to have empathy or to how to engage with people. So that is what I look for. If you've got a heart to really nurture someone, then I can teach you to style. But I already know you. You've got style.
Well, I'm sure some of these things may have even come from Styling Station. And also, I love the idea of how they invest in you financially, because what a great, they get obviously all the outcomes, but you almost, and they get something out of it too in terms of their outfits, but they're actually putting their money where their heart and mouth is. It's a really wonderful concept. I really love that idea.
We're doing the right thing by the charity as well. And we're contributing to it. Nobody's taking anything for free. We're all actually contributing back into them.
And tell me, if I'm a beautiful boutique in Brisbane, and I mentioned like Calexico or somebody else who gives to you, why do I love dealing with you at Styling Station?
Because we sit apart. We sit apart from everybody else. We're not a retail space. It's an appointment only. It's a private space that's just all about you. There's no competition.
I'm actually thinking about a previous episode that I was interviewing Fleur Sharp about food, and she was saying that you really should look for the food that's out the front of the food shops, because that's the stuff that's in vogue, that's in style, and it's ripe for the picking. Mm. And it's then go home and decide what you're going to make with that. You kind of do the same thing in the fashion space, in that this is clothes, contemporary clothing that's just coming out of that contemporary retail space that's actually been, you know, not so long harvested. Mm-hmm. And it's almost you're deciding to put on your style on the stuff that already exists rather than go and create something from scratch. So it kind of is a very similar story. I love that about it. So I think if we look at the future for Styling Station, what does it look like? And it almost is the same question, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up?
Well, I think that's a bit of a two-part question. So for Styling Station, definitely expansion. It's in my business plan to expand to Sydney, Melbourne, probably start a little bit closer to home, Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast. I think there is a need for this everywhere, and I get lots of questions from people in different cities of when are you starting a Styling Station here. So that's definitely where Styling Station will go in the future. For me, it will just be a careful planning, because I don't want to lose the heart and the nurture that is in Styling Station. And sometimes when organisations get big, some of that personalised moments disappear, and that's not what I want at all. So it will be very strategic when I expand into other places. Obviously have the right team on board. But what do I want to be when I grow up? I think a writer. I always wanted to be a writer. So whether that's fiction or non-fiction, I'm not sure. But I've always just had a heart for words and for the impact that you can have through a book. And I feel like it's a little bit of a dying art, the books these days, with podcasts and you know, everything so flicking through on social media. And I like the old school books with the paper and the feel and things. So that's what I want.
And what kind of book will it be, your first book?
I think it would probably start with in the space that I'm passionate about, and that is empowering women to believe in themselves and to sit in their identity of who they are and rock that.
And so when you write this book, you must do something outside the Styling Station, because it sounds like it's an all-consuming passion and business. What do you do outside the Styling Station?
Well, quite a few things, actually. I've got a beautiful family. I've got a Brady bunch of 5 children.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. So 3 are mine, and my husband has 2. So we've got a nice little blended family that works really well. I am Christian. I go to River Life Church. And so I'm quite involved in that, where I'm a worship artist. So I get up on stage and I paint paintings while the service is running, which is quite different for me. I've painted for quite a long time, but quite slowly and intricately. But in the worship art, I've got half an hour to get up there and get a painting done. So it has to be definitely Holy Spirit inspired and yeah, quick and sharp. And
oh my goodness, I'd love to see one of those. Is it possible to put a picture of one of those up with the podcast? Because I'm sure there'll be other people that'll be interested to see what does that look like. And maybe you'll need a little explanation about it as well, perhaps.
Absolutely.
But I've never heard of anything like that. Hmm. Could be the subject of a whole new podcast, yes. I think, one day.
Yes. Look, that's the beauty of my church, actually. It's quite forward and celebrates God in lots of different ways. Not just music, there's dances and all sorts of things on stage.
A worship artist, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Love to hear more about that at some stage. Yes. Thank you. So I guess that would be a lovely entree into our, we always ask our final question, which is, what brings you happiness?
Oh, lots of things. This is a two-part as well. And I would say what really brings me happiness is having a balanced life. And so that is family, friends, work, leisure. I think it's super important to be balanced. The other thing that really brings me joy is my relationship with God, because that's what brings my identity and peace and all the things that I think the world craves and is really looking for. Most people, when they think about Christianity, they think it's a whole lot of rules and regulations and religion. For me, it's not. It's actually a freedom, because it's just a relationship with God. And that gives me the identity in who I am and what my purpose is.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I now know, with your busy, busy schedule and 5 children and everything else you do and the unknowns that I didn't know you did, like painting and wanting to be a writer, you definitely need some bubbles that have coffee at the heart to keep you going. So, Kylie, thank you so much. We're going to, I think, give a link at the end of the podcast to where you can sign up as a volunteer or come and actually get your friends. I can certainly thoroughly recommend going in with a group of friends to do good by actually going to a Starling Station session and taking 3 things home, which are not kind of dictated on you what they are, but things that you genuinely look good in, and having a relationship and doing good for the community at the same time, which is what this podcast is all about. So thank you so much for joining us, Kylie, and cheers.
Cheers. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
Thank you for joining us on Bubbles and Benevolence. We hope you enjoyed our chat with Kylie today. As usual, if you have any questions, you can send them through to podcast@hanworthhouse.com.au. That's HANWORTH. If you love the idea of a styling session to help you find your personal style, 3 brand new items, and supporting women in need, all for $110, book your styling session with Kylie's team through the link in the episode description, or head straight to stylingstation.org.au. If you enjoyed our episode today, please share, rate, and review. We'll be back soon with another special guest.
Cheers.
Cheers.